Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I do apologise that my voice is a little bit croaky. I don't know what's going on. I feel fine, but I've got this kind of croaky voice. It's been a really good week because I got to go to a really great opening of an event in London, an opening of a clinical centre, a new clinic. Really interesting place. It's just absolutely innovative work. And the founder started the clinic really because his daughter, who suffered from epilepsy, found various cures that actually worked for her, one of which was CBD oil. And he was one of the people who was able to make that possible in the UK. So it's a fascinating story. I've only told you the top line of it. But anyway, it's the Georgia Emerson Clinic. And it was really, really interesting to find out about the work that they do there, including addiction services, which I want to find out more about how they do that, and all kinds of interesting diagnostic stuff that they offer at the clinic. Because it was an opening and, it was a bit of a fun evening, they also had Peter Andre was doing a turn. So it was a really lovely kind of rooftop terrace. And Peter Andre, first of all, just had a kind of chat with Robin. And it was great just to hear yet more stories about how mental health gets sorted out, I remember Peter Andre said, that when he was younger and he was struggling with his mental health, he would share that with his dad, and his dad's response would be, "Oh, I'll give you some nice lamb," as if that might sort it. But of course, things can be a bit more out in the open now, and that's just fantastic news. So, anyways, that was a really good evening. It was great to be able to be there. I bumped into Dale Pinnock, which was lovely. Dale does a lot of the nutrition stuff for us within the Sober Club and the Nutrition for Recovery module of my sober coach training. So it's great to see Dale as well. What else can I share with you? It's a long weekend coming up, of course. So depending on when you're listening to this, another reminder that life is better without the booze. So if you're one of these people who sort of panics about bank holidays and whether you're going to be able to cope, you can absolutely cope. Do your prep, get some alcohol-free drinks in, anything that you like. Get yourself something to do, even if that's a book to read and some podcasts to listen to. And just, throw the tape, play the tape forward. Just focus on how much better life is without the booze. I did find a lovely article in The Guardian this week by Kate Christensen, and the headline was "What Makes Me Happy Now, Not Drinking," and it was a really kind of lovely piece just about struggles that she'd had and all the various difficult aspects of her life, but how she realised. Well, she starts the piece by saying, "Every day hiking in the mountains with my husband and two dogs, I experience a moment of grounded exhilaration." That's a nice way of putting it, isn't it? "And I think of it as my 'how did I get here' moment. And the big part of the answer is always because now I'm sober." And that is exactly it, isn't it? It's not that the bad stuff won't happen to us, because sadly, it's life. Things get lifey, as Susan from Hola Sober would say. Stuff gets lifey. But we have so much more resilience, and we can actually experience that sense of joy and happiness if we remove that toxic liquid, which gets in the way of absolutely everything. So don't blow your sober streaks just because it's bank holiday and the sun's out. Who cares? Focus on, what it is you want for the future. And that can never be that you want to feel rubbish, right? So anyways, reach out if you need help. Always just pitch out. There'll be someone listening. You can always message me. I'll reply to everything as long as I see it at Genuinely Grace. And obviously, I would love it if you'd consider joining us in the Sober Club, because you've got somebody there 24/7. There's always someone in our community, and there's just so much support there, so much help. So think about that if you are early stages and you're thinking about how do you handle what's going on. Just a quick word about some events. We had a fantastic Family Constellations event last week in York. It was just great, just magical stuff. And we will be putting more of those on. Another one in Hertfordshire and hopefully another one in York. I really hope so. It was great to be there. Gorgeous city, isn't it? Love York. We have in August, I know it's a long time away, but just want to get you to save the date. If you are around in the UK in August, I'm planning a live podcast recording. I think it will be something like the 250th episode of the podcast? And I thought we should do this with an audience. It would be fun. And we have a couple of Sober Club members who are coming over from Australia and the States. And of course, they want to meet a few other people. So we thought, let's just do this. Let's have a meetup. Let's do a live podcast recording. So I've got some special guests lined up. I'm not going to share who they are yet, but trust me, you're going to want to be there. So we're going to be doing this at a venue in London. It'll be Central. Haven't actually confirmed where yet, but I will do soon. And it's almost certainly going to be Tuesday, 15th of August. So put that in your diary. Tickets will be on sale very soon. Won't be expensive. And it'll be just fantastic to meet some podcast listeners. You don't have to be a Sober Club member. It'll be open to everyone. So that's Tuesday, 15th of August. It'll probably be early evening. And then on Saturday, the 19th of August, we have a Sober by the Sea, which is a day where you can focus on you and create a vision board and just take some time for you. Take some time out. And then what else have I got coming up? A few other bits and pieces, but they're the main two that I wanted to tell you about. So August the 15th and August the 19th. Throwing things forward ahead to October, I'm starting another Sober Coach training program October 6th and 7th. So I appreciate that's not of interest to many of you, but just in case it is, and that's something you want to do, then get in touch and we can get you, we can have a conversation about that. Anyways, my guest today is a long-standing Sober Club member, and she's trained with me as a sober coach. And one thing that I do all the time with, you know, with people who train with me, if I can see they've got a gift, they've got a message, they've got something they want to get out there, I just give them a gentle nudge to think about getting their book out. I mean, why would you not? They say there's a book in all of us, right? And, you know, if you do it right, what have you got to lose? Just share your message with more people. When I first stopped drinking, I could not get enough Quitlet. I couldn't find enough to keep me going. It's funny now I think back, because I didn't actually tell anyone I'd stopped drinking. I was all kind of shameful and secretive, hilarious, really, when I think about it, you know, given that I wasn't like that when I was drinking. But I was ordering all these books. They were coming flying through the door. This absolutely huge pile of Quitlet. I just couldn't get enough. And then, of course, I wrote my own Happy, Healthy, Sober. But anyways, I love encouraging people to write books. And Dupe Witherick went on and did exactly that.
Well, I've got this fabulously colourful book in front of me, A Cocktail of Clarity by Dupe Witherick. Welcome, Dupe. So lovely to chat to you.
Hi, Janie. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. It's great to be here.
Oh, it's really good to chat to you. So I've known you a good few years now. And as a Sober Club member, and then more recently when you were trained with me as a sober coach. But we have to start by just telling everybody the story of when you very first joined the Sober Club and came on at one of our Zoom calls, this day I wish I'd recorded it. It would have been such a fantastic kind of little piece to put out there. Just tell us what was going on all those years ago.
Gosh, yeah. So I decided to ditch the booze for what was 21 days initially.
Yeah, you were very clear about that. Just three weeks.
Adamant. It was only going to be 21 days. And I do remember the Zoom very clearly.
Yeah.
And I remember being on it, and I was early on. So I was probably about, let's say, 15 days in, something like that. And I was listening to people and thinking, right, so you've made a decision to stop drinking and you're sort of loving life. This is a bit weird. I wasn't expecting that. So I think you and others convinced me to then try for at least, you know, to stay, you know, to try and not drink for a bit longer than the 21 days. And I was like, no, it's only 21 days. But I remember asking all these questions and just being really curious and thinking, well, actually, why not? Mm. My major hurdle, though, was I stopped drinking in November for 21 days. And I knew Christmas was coming up and New Year's. And I thought, there's no way on earth I could not drink during that period of time, because pretty much every Christmas other than being pregnant, you always drink. That was what you do. And so I think knowing that was coming up quite soon, I think that was another reason I was really adamant it wasn't going to be.
And this was, is it 4 years ago now?
Oh gosh, no, not that long ago, Janie.
I do think that little piece of story is really relatable, actually. I really do, because I think, you know, I remember you on that Zoom, and I remember that you were sort of a little bit kind of shaky and a little bit fragile, but really quite determined that this was just going to be the 3 weeks. But there was a sort of air of, I mean, there was no way you weren't going to do the 21 days. That was a commitment, and you were going to stick to it no matter what. That was obvious, right?
Yeah.
And I do think it's really interesting, because I think that can often be such a thing for people, that they know that they're good at setting themselves challenges. I mean, you hear of people who decide to do a challenge for a year. As soon as the year ends, it's like, right, well, I've done that now, and now I can drink again. And they're back down the slippery slope. And I do think it's really fascinating, because it's just that piece of not having grasped that life is better without, still being in that old mindset, isn't it? You know, so you would have done your 21 days very successfully, and then you'd have gone back to drinking, and then maybe later down the line, you know, you'd have done another sober October or whatever it might be, you know, until eventually it all settles in, and then God forbid something not so great happens to you, and you really do go down that slippery slope. So just that change in perception, it's magical, isn't it, when you just catch sight of life is better without any.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was still skeptical, to be absolutely honest with you. I remember getting off the call and thinking, well, it sounds a little bit fascinating. I always say, you know, prior to, if you'd asked me even, you know, three and a half years ago, anyone who didn't drink, I was absolutely adamant that their life must be really boring. I was a little bit suspicious of them. I mean, why wouldn't you drink? It was a little bit, it was quite, everyone I'd sort of come across, I felt a bit sorry for if they said they didn't drink, and I just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. So there was definitely a shift in perception throughout those 21 days, and certain things happened that just sort of made me feel like I'm on some sort of path, or I'm being nudged in a certain direction, which was quite scary at the time, but also a little bit exciting as well.
Definitely. And it's just been so amazing to watch your sort of transformation, because, you know, just so much has happened to you since you stopped drinking. So you're going to have to tell us, you know, some of the amazing things. Actually, just before you do that, let's just set the scene. So you've got a couple of children, two children,
I've got a daughter, she's nine. Yeah.
And a fairly high powered job where you travel a lot. So I'm guessing that alcohol is very much part of that, is it?
Yeah,
it was.
It definitely was. And, you know, I think a lot of people see loads of beliefs about alcohol. And for me, one of the beliefs was, it's so glamorous, it's so sophisticated, I'll get on a business class flight, and of course I'm going to have champagne as soon as I sit down, because that's what they offer you when you travel business class. And I've been very lucky to do that, you know, over the years. And it's so ingrained in our society that you have to drink, really. And I was on a plane recently, and it hit me that, and it was absolutely no judgment at all, but I was looking at people and you could tell that this was their travel way. So they get on the plane, they have the fizz, then they have the appetizer of a gin and tonic, then they have
whatever time of day it is, by the way.
Exactly. Yeah, or they're in the lounge previously having a glass as well, and then, you know, and then they get the menu and you can see them looking at the wine list and, you know, oh, I'm a connoisseur and it's so cool, and they pick something and feel like they sound very knowledgeable about the wine. And by the end of it, you get off the plane and you look at them and they just look so groggy. And I'm thinking, how are you going to start the day? And that was me for years.
I couldn't believe when I first did a long haul flight without drinking, I couldn't believe the difference. I had no jet lag. I mean, I was a bit tired, but nothing really major. you know, because it's the bloody alcohol that makes it so much worse, isn't it? Amazing. So, yeah. So, yes. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about some of the amazing, amazing things. You and I got to do, it was for the Lorraine show, wasn't it? That little
the Lorraine show.
Not last Christmas, the Christmas before. And I think when we were on there, you were sort of saying that you'd just started running. And then just carried on. So just tell us a little bit about that. It's so impressive.
I would have not said I was a runner up until 2 years ago. Well, just over 2 years ago, maybe. I remember running at all. And this is another thing. I think when you stop drinking, you suddenly remember passions or things that you used to love. And at school, I was quite good at sports. I loved sports. I did a lot. But then I got to sort of 16 and just stopped and didn't do any. And I remember running was one of the things I did a lot of. I used to do a lot of 100 metres, 200 metres, cross country running. You know, I did quite enjoy it. Anyway, I decided to do a programme after I ditched the booze about 4 or 5 months in. And I did a 10K programme. I had tried couch to 5K, I think, the year before, just as COVID hit, just to do something and just didn't get on with it. I just was like, yeah, I didn't really like the walking and the running and the mix. I think I'm an all or nothing sort of person. So I had to sort of get on with it. And I did this 10K program, which was fab, and ended up running 10K, which I was like, hold on a minute, how does that happen? And then I got the bug. And it's so good for your mental health as well as your physical health. And just having that time and being in nature and looking around. Again, since then I've run in all weathers. I mean, I've run in this, like the snow, I've run in the rain, the wind. Again, if you'd asked me this a few years ago, there was no way. I'd watch runners and think, why are you running in the rain? You're crazy. But that's me now. So yeah. I went on to do a couple of half marathons last year. And I've just finished and run the London Marathon in April. So
unreal, unreal, yeah. Just incredible. I'm so impressed. I really am. It's just amazing. But this is, I mean, I'm guessing you would say that you would not have done that unless you were sober.
No way. No way. I mean it's such a commitment.
Is it that you wouldn't have done it because physically you wouldn't have been up to it? Or is it just that you would never have set yourself that challenge and commitment and time, I suppose, because you have to allow a bit of time for it?
It's the time. I remember, so I was, I climbed Kilimanjaro just before COVID hit, which was amazing. And I did some training for that, but it wasn't, you know, it was sort of every weekend with my friend, we'd go for a walk. That was pretty much it. But you know, running a marathon does take a lot of commitment, a lot of time. You know, at one point, I think on average, since January to April, I was running about 55K a week on average, 55, 60K a week. And towards the end, I was doing sort of 30K runs, 32K runs, which is sort of 20 miles. So it's not something that, and I was running 5 days a week for 18 weeks. So it's not something you can sort of lightly take on, especially when you're working time and doing other things, and you know, it's a bit of a tricky one. But I think I didn't feel like I had the time before.
Yeah, well, I mean, not drinking it frees up so much time, doesn't it? It's not even just the time when you're physically drinking, it's when you're thinking about it and when you're mopping up after
everything. yeah, and I think people just don't realize how much time is spent thinking about drinking and all the rest of it. And so I feel like I've realized I've got a lot more time. Two, I've realized actually I want to prioritize the things that I think are worthwhile. And I don't desperately, of course I do sometimes, but I don't desperately want to just sit in front of Netflix every evening and let the time pass me by. So I'm really keen to just do things now. And I think we all say we haven't got enough time and we've all got the same amount of hours in the day. And if you were to break it down, you've got 24 hours in a day. You spend, let's say you spend 8 hours at work, you spend 8 hours sleeping on average? What are you doing with the remaining 8 hours?
Yeah.
And for me, that's been, I want to make as much, the most of it, as, you know, as I can. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you you did some coach training, so you had added that to your bow, and then you came and did our sober coach training. Tell us a bit about how that was for you.
Yeah, so really good. So I trained as a transformational, accredited transformational coach. And then about, and I was thinking about niching and what I wanted to do. And I think about 6 months, a year later, I obviously spoke to you and you were doing this sober club training. And I thought, I am really passionate. I wasn't converting, that sounds awful. But I was trying to convince my friends that actually this is the route to go down. And a lot of my friends actually aren't drinking anywhere near as much as they were. And they've discovered all these alcohol-free things. And in the week, they'll do that. And maybe they'll drink on the weekends. But, you know, I think I was so passionate about what happened to me. I was wanting to share it with everyone. And I was thinking about how to niche, and I just thought, this is the perfect area. This is what I'm passionate about. I've been there, I've done it, got the t-shirt in a way. And so I can absolutely relate. And the opportunity came up to do the training with you, and it was amazing. You know, it was a great group of women at the time. It was just women. And the 2 days that we had, which was the sort of in-person training, was amazing. And then all the business stuff that you taught afterwards, Janie, that was just really enlightening. I think the coaching bit I was okay with. Obviously, you've got the ditching drinking piece as well. But then I think all the stuff you did afterwards was really great. And just having that community, and obviously we're all still in touch. And so seeing how we're all, you know, bouncing ideas off each other and seeing how we're all getting on is great as well, to have that community.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I talk about on that training is I try and persuade people to at least consider whether they should write a book, because you know, it's the best calling card you're going to have, and a lot of us have got a story, and we want to get it out there, and you've done exactly that. So tell us a bit about how the book came about then. Had it been brewing for a long time?
I wouldn't say a long time, but I do remember in 2021, I did a lot of self-development, personal growth sort of courses in 2021. And one of the things I remember doing, sort of a vision and what I wanted to do and achieve over the coming years. And I had written down, I want to write a book. And I don't really know where that came from. I had no idea what I was going to write about, but it was on my list of things to do. I probably thought I'd do it in 20 years time. You know, it wasn't something, it was something that was on my sort of experiences or things I wanted to achieve. And then I started writing some blogs and posting quite regularly on social media and just thinking about, wouldn't it be good to sort of get this knowledge out there? And I felt like I do have a story. So it was a bit of a do I, don't I? And then a couple of things happened. Someone approached me about potentially writing this book. And I mulled over it and thought, can I actually do it? Can I, you know, do it again? Do I have the time? And I want to make sure it's, you know, it's a decent read for people. And then obviously you were saying it as well, that it would be good to write a book. And so anyway, it was coming from lots of different angles.
Yeah.
And so I did it. I bit the bullet and just went along. I went ahead and wrote A Cocktail of Clarity. So yeah.
Brilliant. And in the book, you know, I like the fact that you really go through, you know, your own story, and you do like a little bit of a kind of a timeline, you know, of what can happen as you kind of go through, you know, the stages. I mean, of course, it's different for everyone, but you've shared what happened for you, some of the things that happened for you. And you've shared that at, was it 20 months alcohol free? That's when you did your first half marathon. But also you were diagnosed with a rare illness. So tell us a bit about that. That must have become like a bolt out of the blue.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, I literally had just done the half marathon. I was probably the healthiest I felt I'd ever been in a very long time. I wasn't drinking, you know, it was all just, it just felt a bit weird. And I got this, I'm going to a huge detail, but I got this rash and these ulcers and things and went to see the doctor, and she just, the GP, and she said, right, you've got to go straight to hospital. And I was like, oh my goodness, what's this about? Long story short, they diagnosed me with this illness, which could have been chronic.
Right.
And so they sort of warned me that they're going to monitor it, and they put me on loads of medication, and I was on that for months, and I had to pretty much go to the hospital every week and have blood tests. And so my arm was full of, you know, getting used to being injected every week, which wasn't pleasant. And it went on for a few months, and it got better. And then it sort of, they got to the point where they were saying, you know, we might have to put your medication when you come off this medication, it's more longer term. And by the time I got off that medication, they said I'd gone back to normal. And so I, other things happened in the background, which that came out of that, but I don't want to go into that today. Mm-hmm. But this specific illness that I had, they said it's going to be chronic. You're going to be on medication pretty much for the rest of your life. It's something that will need to be monitored, and it disappeared.
Yeah,
so
amazing. I mean, I think the thing is, the reason why I think this is important, just to bring this up, is because, well, number one, you know, when you stop drinking, it doesn't necessarily mean that everything will be unicorns and rainbows, does it?
No, not at all. I was in a really dark place as well.
I can imagine you probably thought, well, what the hell is this? Why me? You know, come on, come on. I've run half a marathon. I've ditched the booze and run half a marathon. What are you doing? So, you know, there is that element of what the hell. But, you know, stuff can still happen. But also, I do think that you, looking back, I'm sure you can now see that you were far more resilient to be able to cope with it than if you'd been drinking, both physically and emotionally. Because let's face it, whatever you've got going on, if you're loading in booze, you are going to be greatly exacerbating whatever it is. And emotionally, you were probably in so much, you know, a so much better place to be able to cope.
Yeah, and I'd learned all these tools as well. And, you know, self-care is so important. Before ditching the booze and meeting you, Janie, I thought self-care was going to the spa and having a glass of
Fizz. That was my
self-care. Yeah. It wasn't anything else. But having learned, you know, breathing techniques, and I've been doing yoga as well for a long time now. You know, I feel like it's a long time because pretty much it's a daily routine for me. Having the tools in place and not drinking. And one of the things they said is you can't drink if you're on this medication. I was like, I don't drink.
No,
and they looked at me.
No problem.
They looked at me and said, really? What do you mean you don't drink? You know, and again, that's quite strange that doctors don't seem to think if you don't drink, there's some sort of issue.
Yeah.
I think it certainly helped me cope with it at the time. And I'm convinced it helped me to heal quicker as well.
Yeah. I'm sure it would have done. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and just tell us what else we get from the book then. Obviously, you go through a whole bunch of timeline stuff and making the most of every day. You know, there's a chapter where you tell us exactly how many minutes we've got in a day and how we should focus on using them the best way we can, right?
Yeah. So for me, I really wanted this to be a positive view of becoming alcohol free. And so I include in the book, you know, tricks to help you ditch drinking. But I also want to show that that's just a tiny, I know, okay, it's a big thing, of course. It is a big thing to do. But once you do that thing, so many opportunities open up, so many possibilities come your way, and you're curious and you're actually willing to be brave enough to try them and to do them. And so I wanted to show that, you know, you sort of ditch the booze, you go through the, you know, the headache of navigate relationships and all of that sort of stuff. But then once you sort of get past that, what can you do from there? And so I focus on things like habits, building habits, focusing on, you know, passions and hobbies, and then also thinking about what next, but also how do you manage emotions? What are your values and what does that mean? And then also, you know, your big vision for your life. And now that you are alcohol free, and I'm hoping it will inspire people to just think, actually, you know, this thing that is niggling me and I'm questioning and I'm or getting just a bit fed up with, I'm just not enjoying, you can ditch drinking and thrive alcohol free. That's the essence of the book.
Yeah, absolutely. And just briefly, what impact has this had on your you know, the work that you do, colleagues, and you know, what's happened there? Were there any sticky moments?
I think I put something in the book actually about a dinner that I went for, one of my initial dinners that I went with colleagues after COVID. And obviously we hadn't seen each other for a little bit. And so a lot of people were expecting me to be the same old me and, you know, having the gin and tonic and the red wine. And we were in a steak restaurant, so of course you're going to have red wine. And so a colleague in particular turned around to me and said, and started talking about his friend who had stopped drinking basically because he'd hit rock bottom, and he was trying to say to me, you must have hit rock bottom, what's the juice?
How bad was it for you?
How bad was it? Yeah.
Have you dried out yet, as I was asked?
Exactly. So I think, that was a bit strange, people that have known me. I did change jobs partway through this journey, and actually people have been very accepting, and I think it's in our heads, you know.
I think it is at the beginning, it's the perception, isn't it? It's the way that we think everyone's going to be looking at us, judging us, and then we get nervous and then we slip up in how we answer and on and on. But when we're really just fully authentic in our own choices, like, nobody cares. You know, any more than we would care if they were fully authentic about their choice, whatever it might be. it does feel very scary at first, but usually it pans out all right, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's so worth it. It really is. It's, you know, I think I say in the book, I think, you know, it's absolutely life changing. It's something that, and I think it's the best kept secret as well.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of people.
It was certainly the missing link for me. I was doing everything else, allegedly, but not that piece. You've also got a few nice recipes in the book for alcohol-free cocktails, which was a nice touch. Do you want to share one of your favourites, maybe, if you can remember any off the top of your head?
Well, I love the Nojito, a mojito with no alcohol, and then the Cosmopolitan as well. I thought, you know, by including things like mocktails, it does... again, show that you can, to your phrase, Janie, keep the ritual and change the ingredients. And so, it really is a case of what is alcohol really bringing to my life? And if you can find some good drinks, and there's so many out there. I mean, when I ditched drinking, there were fewer options. A lot of the big brands hadn't started their alcohol free.
Yeah, it's really escalated, hasn't it, in the last couple of years.
And now there's so much. Yeah, and so again, it's really the ethanol. You don't need it, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
There's so many other things you could have instead.
Yeah, exactly. Well done, Dupe. It's just fantastic to get to chat to you, and it's just been so wonderful to hear your story and see your transformation. Thank you for staying part of the Sober Club, because I think that's just hugely important, really, because it's, you know, as I'm always saying, it's for people who are starting out and sober curious, but it's also for people who've been sober for years, because as you say, there's always something else, isn't there? There's always something else to unravel and unwrap, right?
And thank you for setting it up, because again, many of us, myself included, would probably not be where we are today without you setting it up, Janie.
Oh, so really thank appreciate you. I appreciate that. So anyways, the book, which is, I mean, I don't know what happened with the cover, but somebody found a tin of paint, right? It's so colourful. It's gorgeous. A Cocktail of Clarity, How to Ditch Drinking, Embody a Joyful New Identity and Thrive Alcohol Free. So just let us know where people can find more about you, Dupe.
Absolutely. Thank you, Janie. So my website is www.thrivealcoholfree.com, and I'm on Instagram at thrivealcoholfree, and you can get the book on Amazon.
Brilliant. I'll put all those links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Dupe. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on, Janie. Really lovely to chat. Take care.
Thank you, Dupe. The book's A Cocktail of Clarity. We'll put that in the show notes. Just a reminder then, it is a long weekend. That does not mean you have to drink. It just means you have to be kind to yourself and do the kind of things that are going to lift your spirits. Drinking ain't going to do that. I know we use the word spirits, but trust me, it means something else entirely. So, you know, one thing I talk about a lot is this joy of the ordinary. You know, Catherine Gray's fabulous book, The Unexpected Joy of the Ordinary, really is. And I've said this before, when I was drinking, I couldn't appreciate anything small. I couldn't appreciate little things. And well, now I can, you know, and it's a really good habit to cultivate, just being appreciative of little things. And if you're really feeling in a funk and you've just really had enough and you just got the wine witch on your shoulder and you just feel as though you're in a rage, go and shake it out. Put some music on, shake it out. And if that doesn't work, just go to bed early. Who cares? This too shall pass. It really, really will. So if you're in these early stages and dreading this bank holiday because everyone around you is drinking and the sun's out and that has to mean alcohol, right? Well, actually, no. It can mean a really lovely alcohol-free drink and a nice glass. So get some kombucha or get whatever it is you like, but have it in a nice glass and feel actually like, do you know what? I'm looking forward to waking up sober because, man, that just never gets old, does it? Don't forget those dates. Pop them in your diary. Tuesday, August the 15th in London, and Saturday, August the 19th, Sober by the Sea. Very, very limited spaces. So getting quick. If you're interested, just send me a message. You know how to find me at Janie Lee Grace on social media. Obviously, if you'd like to join us in the Sober Club, we'd love to have you. TheSoberClub.com. And if it doesn't resonate for you to be part of our group, for whatever reason, maybe you're already sorted, then, but if you'd still like to support this work, that would be so appreciated. It really, really would. It's my passion. And it would be lovely if you wanted to buy me a coffee or donate something into our Sober Club Give Back Fund. Both are findable. I think it's genuinelygrace.com. No, it isn't. It's buymeacoffee.com/genuinelygrace if you want to buy me a coffee. But of course, I'd rather have one in person. So drop me a message and have a great bank holiday weekend. Keep those sober streaks and I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.